Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Okay, so how do you pronounce your name like the way the Irish people pronounce it?
Mo'Loy.
So you Irish?
Yeah.
Oh, my, look
Irish
at this.
And German.
So for the shift listeners, we'll just start straight away.
Okay.
We have Madison, Mo'Loy. Oh, Irish and German.
Uh-huh.
Wow, that's so cool.
Are you from Ireland?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's so, I've always wanted to go to Ireland.
Yeah, you should go.
I need to go. I heard it's like the most amazing place.
It's, it is pretty great. Don't take me being here as a reflection of it not being great, but it's a great country. I think it's better the older you are, because especially if you go, like, it feels boring. And then as a young person, and then you move to New York, and New York just drains your life force. And then you go back on a holiday to Ireland, and you're like, why would I? Ireland's very relaxed. Everything's closed on a Sunday. Things close early. And when you're young, that's horrible. But then you come here and it's like the land of the living dead, you know, like kind of just constant.
Oh, nonstop.
Yeah. So I would say Ireland's very relaxing. Is green, as they say. But let's introduce you. You wrote a book, Time to Lighten the Fuck Up. Sorry, that's great. I could see Irish people buying that. We love a good fuck. So it's a self-help guide with a side of humor.
Yeah. So I put a lot of my, some of my like stand-up in there, but I wanted to stay authentic to like kind of who I was and my brand, and wanted a naughty, honest self-help book. So I created it.
I love it. I love it so much. I'm going to show the look. Beautiful.
It's me with my cunty looking face. Irish people love that word.
Yeah, we love
it's
that
such
word.
A great word.
We love it. Leland has started saying it sometimes because he adapts some of the slang. And I'm like, be careful saying that one here.
Especially in New York.
Yeah, people get so, it's crazy. They get offended about cunt, but you can buy a gun. You're like, okay, get out of here.
Yeah, I know.
Someone messaged me and was like, you have influence, you shouldn't curse. And I was like, calm down. I'm not out here waving a gun. Like, why don't you use that energy to actually tell people who are literally have bad influence?
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy.
Exactly.
I know. This is a very crazy role. But so, what made you decide to write a self-help guide book?
So, when I was doing comedy, when I started doing comedy, can you still see me on your camera? I'm going to get more comfortable here in the Katie Boyle podcast. When I was doing stand-up and, you know, being an artist, I didn't realize, I guess I had unrealistic expectations. Mm-hmm. So, unfortunately, I, you know, like a lot of us, we fall into kind of mental health depression and anxiety and, you know, looking for validation everywhere outside ourselves, looking for the audience to validate us, the industry to validate us. Not knowing certain things when they're going to happen, sacrificing a lot that we do for kind of a normal life. And, you know, I felt then I was like self-sabotaging myself and always getting in my own way. And when I was finally able to kind of get over those hurdles and, you know, limit the depression and the anxiety and feel like I'm actually proud of the life I'm living, I wanted to write a book that could help other people do the same. I think a lot of our misery comes from the fact that we just overthink and overcomplicate everything.
Yeah, definitely.
And life is really just very simple. If you kind of think about your life, like you're, you know, getting on a kayak and you're going down the river, that's all you have to do is just go with the flow.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Some things are going to be good, some things are going to be bad, but the more you resist, the more difficult your journey is going to be.
Yeah. No, 100%. And I think even people who don't do comedy can relate to that in just general because... But I do think as adults, I'll say this a lot, we metaphorically cut ourselves. Uh-huh. So, you know, as a teen, you might actually cut yourself. And then as an adult, you do it with like, you know, so for any of the listeners, I find like with comedy, what comedians will do is like, oh, but I only got 3 spots this week. That means I'm like, they internalize everything and project insecurities. And then for the real person, I'll give the real people an example. Like when someone says, oh, your hair looks great. Like if I were like, oh, your hair looks great like that. And then instead of being like, oh, that's so nice, you go, oh, she didn't like my hair down. You know, does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
you project your insecurities.
Yes.
And like in turn, like, and it's like no one's thinking that. So I like the whole idea of just like going with the flow and not taking things to like hurt yourself or cause anxiety or overthink, because
yeah,
no one thinks the insecurities that we think. I started thinking like that, like when I was like, don't, this is in my head, like, hey, don't, then it was like so much better. Things were easier.
Well, it's true. And you think about it too, where we worry about, you know, what people are going to think of us,
yeah.
right? Especially because, you know, you and I are putting ourselves on stage in front of, yeah. On the mercy of the audience. And then you also realize you're like, you know, those times where we all, you know, either directly or indirectly judge somebody else, like it's just a passing moment.
Yeah, you
and
never think
you
about
forget
it again.
About that person.
It's so,
so
true.
People aren't really thinking about you as much as you think they are.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just, yeah, it's going with the flow. And the less you judge others, too, the less you'll think they're going to judge you. Because, yeah, you project what you're kind of thinking or your insecurities, so to say.
Yeah.
So if you're out there judging the shit out of everybody, well, then, yeah, you're probably going to think everyone's doing the same to you.
And even when you are judging the shit out of people, people aren't doing the same.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
that's you. True. And even, like, the people who, like, are judgy, I'm kind of like, they don't hold any power. Just, you know, the sort of way, like, so like specifically in comedy, you'll have comedians. I had a friend, he was just saying he was at a show and there was comedians being very bitter about comedy and all this stuff. And he's not from here. So,
okay.
But I was like, don't listen to that, because that's people who are wasting too much time being bitter and angry. That's why they're not getting what they, because.
Yeah.
I find like when you're just like enjoying the process and not comparing yourself to other people, that's when things actually work out. And when people are like judgy and comparing, and the energy is just in all the wrong places and they don't get what they want, you know?
I 100%. There's a guy, I will not mention his name. He is a comedian. He's been doing it forever. And every time, and he's funny and he's good looking. He's got everything it takes. And you talk to him and you'll be like, oh, it's a great set or whatnot. And it's like, well, I'm not getting any of this, and I'm not getting managed, and I'm not da-da-da. And I was like, how about you focus on what you do have?
Exactly. And you it's just like, my dad's super, like, he's an Irish farmer / policeman, Garda.
Oh, that's awesome.
And he's, like, very direct, and he's always just like, nobody wants to be hearing this shit. And I feel like I always think of his voice in my head when someone's just like, when you're like, oh, great set. And they're like, oh, well, I'm like really bitter. I didn't get JF, blah, 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 blah. And you're like,
yeah.
I just said great set as you got off a stellar state. Like, what do you like? Also know who you're talking to here. Do you know, like, as in, you're doing great. And they usually are complaining to people who have less than them.
Right, so you're like, shit.
Yeah, you're like, you're doing fine. I've seen so many comics who have way more than me get like a Comedy Central half hour and then bitch to me, and I'm like, I never want to be like that. So like, I really love everything I get, and I try to like purposely be like,
gratitude.
Yeah, I was just talking to someone recently, and there was like, I had pre-audition for this big comedy club. But then this was like 2 years ago, and it was the stress of getting the right tape to kind of like, and then to look for, I needed another recommendation, and the stress of all of that made me feel so much anxiety that I actually took a step back from it. And I was like, do you know what? I'm going to wait for this place until I've built up a big enough fan base, and then I'll circle back. Because I was kind of like, this isn't worth what I'm feeling right now. And secondly, I hate this like time pressure we put on ourselves. Mm-hmm. Like, it's going to be fine. It's not going to. I don't need this right now. And so I was just saying this to someone last night, because they were talking about that specific club, and I was like, oh, you know, the best thing I did, and I've kind of like grown so much, and I want to enjoy the process as well. And any of my friends who did get in at the same time, they all are like really upset right now. It seems like they're a bit broken because they don't have a big fan base behind them. They've been running the same shit, just trying to, because it's a type of club where you have to do you have to kill every time, you know, you can't really grow. They haven't been getting that many spots. Whereas in the space of time, I've grown so much more followers. I've grown as a comedian. I got to tape a special because I went more with a different club that's not considered as, But it was just like, I'm so glad that I had, like, I took the mentality of like, this doesn't feel well for my mental health. Let's take a step back. Let's go slow.
Wow.
And things really are like, so I'm like happy.
You got a good head on your shoulders, you know?
Yes, now. Well, yeah. But I went to therapy, so that helped.
Yeah. Well, like whatever it takes. But yeah, we are in a very brutal business. I mean, there's a whole section of the book about validating yourself.
Yeah. And it's super. And that person I was talking to yesterday was like, whoa, you, why, like, I never like think about, I'm always just being hard on myself, and I'm like, no, I just fucking enjoy it, you know, because yeah. we're dead.
Life is fun when you enjoy it. So I don't really want to do stand-up comedy anymore. Okay. I wrote this book. I have another book deal. I have two more books coming out.
That's so exciting.
It's crazy. So I'm going to like publicly announce everything in December. It's a fictional series. It happened from this book going to an author's conference, and life is crazy. Power of God. It's all God. But it's amazing now when you don't want to do it, people will be like, come do the show, come do the show. But because I don't have the pressure of like, oh, I have to make it as a comic, I have to get signed by the industry, or I need to wait for an agent, or blah, blah, blah. Like, I have so much more fun. And the sets are going better because I don't give a fuck. And sometimes in life, not giving a fuck in a healthy way is...
It's so true. It's like when you don't, when you want a relationship, you just don't get it because you're giving off a bit of a desperation vibe or something.
Yeah.
And you lower your standards and you're a bit needy. Whereas when you're kind of like, whatever, I'm having a great time, that's usually when the right person comes, because you're like in a healthy space and it's not, and then you develop a healthy relationship because you're not, there's not that much stakes on it, I feel.
Yeah.
Yeah, no,
well,
it's so true.
The thing is just like letting things come and go, right? So if like you're dating somebody and all of a sudden they kind of pull away, I mean, gosh, I see so many, like when I go on TikTok, there's so many like videos. Did he ghost you? Does he pull away? And you're like, dude, like, just go with that energy. Go with the flow. Yeah. But okay, they're not really into me. Put myself out in a different direction. Yada, yada, yada. Like, you can't force anything.
Yeah, it's so true.
In life. So I just try to, you know, and listen, I wrote a self-help book. It's done well. It's changing people's lives. But I don't want to sit here and be like, oh, my life's perfect now. I never have anything. Everything just fucking goes my way. No, I just know how to deal with it better.
That's the best advice. It's like, not everything's going to go perfect, but you learn how to deal with it.
Like this morning, I'd gone to the gym. I ran. I had a really good workout. I got out of the shower and I'm getting ready. And I start feeling a little blue. And I go, huh, that's weird. So I'm like, why am I feeling sad? I was kind of overthinking things a little bit. And I was kind of trying to pinpoint. And I said, okay, have I been taking my zinc and my vitamin D and all my vitamins, my diet? I can, you know, kind of trying to figure out what it might be. And then I thought, you know, it's also like going home for the holidays and not knowing when you're coming back. A little bit of instability, but that's okay. And then I immediately said, oh my God, it's been almost 6 months since I've had my hormones checked. And I talk about that in the book, how important it is to make sure your hormones are checked and get a full panel from my private practice doctor to make sure, because your mind doesn't work if your body doesn't work. So there's no amount of therapy, antidepressants, blah, 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 is going to work if your body's out of whack. So when I had gone and got my hormones tested in June, I had really low testosterone. And you don't think that is like a female, like a very feminine woman. And mine was like in the trash. So an average woman needs to be 200 to 300 for testosterone levels. Mine was at 19.
Oh, wow.
So that's why I was feeling lack of focus, low energy, a little blue. So they put the pellets in my butt cheek, and then they were like, all right, come back and get tested. So I immediately looked at the calendar and I was feeling a little sad, and I go, okay, so what did I do? Instead of starting to, you know, play the victim in my head, like, oh, I feel so bad, you know, I'm sad, but I don't have this, and da-da-da-da. I was like, nope, not you talking, it's your hormones. So I immediately ran. I made an appointment to get all my blood panels done in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So they can figure out, okay, this is dropped, let's get it back and do more pellets.
That's like literally so amazing to know, because I know for a fact all of the Irish listeners have never heard. I've never heard of getting your hormones checked before.
Oh, it's key.
And I'm 100% going to go get my hormones checked, because everything you're saying,
but
I feel like I have no
make
focus.
Sure,
and
okay. Make sure you do not go to your primary care doctor, and I'm going to tell you why. The insurance companies do not cover an in-depth enough test, so those tests are always going to turn out somewhat normal.
Okay.
So if you go to an out of pocket private functional medicine doctor, it's going to cost a little more, but I can tell you it's really not that much, and it's a lot cheaper than therapy. To get the pellets in my butt was like $300. The blood work, your insurance will cover half of. And then I think the office visit was like $175. So we're talking maybe $600.
Yeah.
Just are you kidding me? Amazing. That's like 3 hours of therapy.
Yeah. And then you feel great for the 6 months. Yeah, it's worth
and you,
it.
And you feel great. And it'll slowly like build up over time. But it's key. I mean, I remember when I started talking about this a lot, I have friends that are like, I think I got divorced over hormones. Like if we had just maybe gotten our hormones checked, maybe it could have saved it.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
I believe
yeah.
it, because when I'm like very aware of my PMS now, but I do feel like, why am I so irritated? Like that a couple of days before the period mm-hmm. or whatever. So I'm already like hormones, that drop of estrogen kills you. So I can't even imagine if you had a constant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever taken Plan B?
Once.
Okay. So that, and I've talked about this on some other podcasts, but Plan B is very dangerous.
Really?
It, yeah. Like I like to say, you know, I'm a good girl, so to say, whatever, but I've had my slip ups and I've taken it probably definitely more than once in my life. It does something obviously to prevent any, you know, pregnancy or whatever, that lowers your testosterone. Because as soon as I told the doctor, oh yeah, I'd taken Plan B in May, she goes, guarantee you it's your testosterone. Wow. Every time you take that, just chink, 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 until it just, you know, is so down. So you have some of these college kids that are maybe afraid to tell their parents about birth control, or they're not on birth control. And then they're going and popping this shit like Tic Tacs. Yeah. And now you're going to have a whole generation of sad kids, but they're not really sad and they're not broken. Yeah. But they're suffering from these hormone things that they wouldn't know to check. So I'm sitting here saying, hey, maybe if I had had this my hormones checked, you know, years ago, I could have, you know, sped up how I felt. But sometimes feeling bad isn't the end of the world. Sometimes when you feel sad is when you start to really kind of tune into yourself and grow.
Absolutely.
So it's not always the end of the world.
I also think as well,
as long as you don't leap out the window.
Yeah, I know. Oh my God, stop. I know. But I do think there is something with this generation and America specifically where you're not allowed to feel sad. And I think sitting in it sometimes and just being like, okay, I feel sad. I mean, not for like, not if you're like sleeping all day, every day, that's a sign
that's
of depression.
Yeah.
But if it's just like, I just need to sit in it and let it pass. I always think, I always quote my dad on this podcast, but my dad says like in time, time fixes everything. So
it so does.
It's so true. Cause you know, like my friends will be like upset about a guy and I'm always just like regurgitating his advice, but I'm just like, you just need to wait time, because it's like, you need to do that emotional prison time.
Uh-huh.
You know, you just gotta do the time, and then you are like a month later, you're already like, you're so clear and you're like, oh yeah, I feel better, yeah, we shouldn't be together. But it's like they don't give themselves that time. They keep like meeting up and seeing the guy, or like even if it's like a fallout with a friend, it's like give yourself space, because you just need time to like, but I feel like a lot of time people don't give themselves that time to be sad and to get over it and to see like the clear, what's that like, I feel
smoke,
like
the smoke through the clouds.
Yeah,
or something
yeah,
like
the
that.
Clear. I'm like, yeah. I'm like picturing like a woods with a fog disappearing.
Yeah, well. I mean, I just had that recently. I came to New York and I said I hadn't been dating for a while, and I said, okay, I'm gonna put myself back out there. Plus, I needed a meal ticket, so I went on all these dating sites and it was great. I've met all these great people. I've met a lot of wonderful people. I've met a lot of jerks, but one guy in particular, I like. Kind of had the first date was like, he's kind of cute, but like there's something that's off, and I felt it.
Yeah.
And I didn't follow that gut feeling. Okay. So I went on another day. I go, free meal. And I could see him getting more interested, and I'm like, still not feeling it. Third date, I'm like, definitely not gonna work. What am I doing? And then he had a free place to stay in Miami, and I needed to be down there for a book interview. So he's like, why don't you just come down a day early? I'm like, fuck it, free hotel. And he wins me over that day, and he gets exactly what he wants from me, and basically everything changed.
Yeah.
Right? So I felt like, wait a second, what happened here? I had all the power, and now all of a sudden the power is shifted. So I remember feeling really sad, and it was like my appetite went away. And I cried and I go, okay, this is not happening. It is your ego. You don't really like this guy. This is stupid. It's a one day thing. He showed you who he is. Stop. So I literally set a timer on my phone for 12 hours. I said, when that goes off, done.
Yeah.
So I let myself feel sad. I let myself talk about it. I let myself cry. And then after that, I was like, no more.
Yeah.
Like, done. And of course, this guy would pop up every now and then, pop up every now and then. And then we finally met up and he was like, no, let's exclusively date. Da da da. Got it. What he wanted again. And then only to dump me the next day for basically never spoke to me again.
So this happened again.
Again. Yeah, yeah. But this time was different. Because when he didn't talk to me again, when I was like, you know what? Dodged a bullet.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I had given myself that 12 hours. I wasn't upset over him anymore. Yeah. Literally, never spoke to me again.
Yeah.
I was like, I think I had a boyfriend for 24 hours. Yeah. Who never called me again? Literally. And now I'm like, that's hilarious.
And also as hilarious. Well, sometimes we are sad that it's not like, it's like not like, it's obviously sad that the guy did that, but it's also because you ignored your the gut feeling. And it's like sometimes I would
I got what I deserved.
Yeah. Well, I would get upset because I would ignore the red flags all the time, or ignore that gut feeling, and then I'm more upset because I'm like feeling like, oh, I knew this, and then I feel rejected as well. And you know, like I've had friends who it's like, are you pining over him because you like him, because you didn't like him at the start, or is it more because he rejected you and now you're having that like anxious attachment?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then they'd be like, totally. Oh yeah, I think I'm just, it's just because he he's the one who walked away, because it's like it is a power thing. You feel you had the power, and then they it's,
and it usually happens after sex. That's why they call it the power of the pussy for a reason.
Yeah.
Hold out on that pussy as long as you can. I swear, I'm like, fuck it. I am holding out pussy until I get a house.
Yeah, yeah.
At this point, fuck it. Yeah. Or a ring. I'm like, I'm done. Like, yeah, no. Because you have all the power. It's hard, but there's a lot of toys.
Yeah, yeah. And there is things like you can do. Like, I also think, like, if you just want to fuck around, then grand. But if you are looking for a relationship, which I was for a long time as well.
Yeah, I can't fuck around. Some people can, like, actually, like, have a fuck buddy and have sex. And, like, it's great. And I'm like, that's so great. Like, me, like, I have sex with you. I'm like, we should get married. That's just how I am. No, I get attached. So I can't do it.
I already, like, my boyfriend he's amazing and we're monogamous. But yeah. I've already said from the very start, like, we'll never be able to have a threesome because... he's pretty like open to like, he would be open to anything if it were guys, girls, whatever. But also he's fine with it not being, you know, it's like he's realistic and knows certain things can be just fantasy. But from the very start, I was like, if we are going to have a serious relationship, because we talked about our fantasies, I was like, I'll never be able to have group sex or anything like that. Because even if we're in a loving relationship and a man puts a penis inside me, I'm going to fall in love with that guy. That's going to jeopardize our relationship, because I can't compartmentalize sex from...
Yes.
My head just goes, you must love him.
That's how I am. So that's hard. Why I was like, it's such a dangerous thing.
And then I talk to people who are like, yeah, I can just have casual sex and they're just a fuck buddy. And I'm like, you're amazing. Like, I'm like, that's amazing.
I couldn't do that, because the thing is, like, I think about that. I'm like, oh, okay. Like that guy that disappeared. I'm like, maybe I could have just sex is amazing. Kept him as like a bang buddy. But I'm like, no, because then I'd be devastated if he got together with somebody else and vice versa.
Yeah, so you feel like, second choice.
It's just better just to let it go. But I never end my relationships. Like, even if they've shattered me, I never say, and I tell my friends this too. First of all, you never say anything in a text message that you're not okay with them showing their friends.
Yeah.
So whatever you write in that message, as long as you're proud of them showing it to multiple people, because they're going to, send that message.
Yeah.
But also, don't call names. Don't say shit. Don't write pages. Just don't, because other people are going to read it. But in that way, when you see them, you can keep your head held high. Trust me, you can like fucking say it offline. Be like, that guy's an asshole. Fuck him. I hope he blah blah blah. But just don't like put it in a text message. I mean, I'm like still friends with a boyfriend that shattered my heart 6 years ago.
Yeah.
And I recently saw him and we're just friends. And 6 years later, he told me why we didn't work out. But it was fantastic hearing it, because I said, yeah. That makes total sense. And I'm so glad you told me that, because I don't want to do that again with my new relationships.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I said, well, this is how I felt. And I'm like, you know what? It felt good being able to say it, because we're not trying to rekindle anything. Yeah. We were just legit buddies. Like, you're my buddy. So it was like, yeah, that totally makes sense.
Yeah, and I'm sure with time passed, he probably, because I do think sometimes people, it takes a while to process, and probably in the heat in the moment. So he was able to say like, oh, this is what upset me. And we should take that in, because you want to grow, you know?
Well, yeah, he told me it was really interesting. He said, I think the biggest issue was you didn't, because I was joking around. I said, time's so funny. I'm like, I'm so glad we're like buddies, because I was like, I think if we met today, it probably would have worked. And he's like, yeah. But he goes, yeah, the issue was like, I loved you for like who you were at that moment, but you didn't love you. You were striving to be somebody else.
Yeah.
And I just loved the person you were. But and I said, well, you know, you were so successful. I never thought I'd be good enough for you unless I was that person. So it was a total miscommunication. He was like, no, not at all. And he's like, you didn't listen to me when I would try to. And I go, no, I was so wrapped up in my own shit that like, you could have told me that 7 years ago and I wouldn't have heard it. Just would have, you know? So it was interesting. And I thought, because we do strive for success in our lives and that next step of, you know, where we're going and what the future is and our goals and our vision boards, that we have to remember, we have to love who we are today, even though we're growing, but accept who we are in that moment. And when you're taking on relationships, being like, no, this person loves me, not for the future house I'm going to have, but for who I am today.
Absolutely.
So just accept yourself at every level your life.
If you don't do that for your partner, because you will seek outside validation, like you said before, but then you don't believe it. So then for the partner, it's exhausting. They're like, no, you are great. No, you are talented. You are, and you're like, no, but you still want to hear it. So it's like a roundabout circle.
It's like
And everybody goes through that until they learn to, my therapist says, run to the self. Mm-hmm. Just self-soothe and all of that stuff, and also just take compliments. It is exhausting too, just in general, you know, when you give someone a compliment and they're like, I always say, like, if I give a compliment and they're like, no, you know, I'm actually a piece of shit, and I'm like,
yeah, you're like, dude, no,
yeah, what, wait, okay, we're not doing this. And B, I just always go, I wouldn't have said it if I didn't mean it. Because, like, what do you think? I'm lying? You think I need to go out of my way to tell you that you have a stupid shirt.
I mean, a nice shirt.
Yeah. There was someone got off stage and I was like, oh, that was such a great set. And they were like, no, blah, blah, blah. And I just go, I'm going to stop you right here. If I didn't think it was great, I wouldn't have said anything at all.
And that's good, because, you know, I used to do that. I used to be that person.
Yeah.
I would step off stage and people would be like, great set. And sometimes if I felt it went great, I'd be like, oh, thanks so much. And I'm like, yeah, it was all right. Like, it was, you know. And I talk about that in the book, how I did that.
Yeah.
And it was like, why can't you just accept a compliment, what it is? So when people sometimes, you know, when people say, oh, you've got, you know, great hair, or I love your accent, you're like, no, it's just an Ireland accent. Like, whatever, you know, it sounds like everybody else in the fucking country. Like, it's like, dude, no, I like your accent. Yeah, I'm not talking to everybody else in the country.
And it's
but
just
instead of just saying, like, thank you so much.
And you also put emotional labor on the other person by not saying thank you, because then they're like, well, no, I really liked at 3 minutes in when you said dog, and they're in there trying to reassure you, and then you're going, no, but I meant to say cat, and it becomes this whole thing. So I think people have to learn as well, like, you are putting pressure on the other person then to like double down and explain their compliment.
Well, yeah. I remember talking to this girl, and she's an older woman, not in comedy. Super cute, looks great. She's just so sweet. And we were talking about something, and she's just like, I'm just so insecure. I just feel so dumb. I'm so ugly. And it was so sexist. It's like a 50-year-old woman.
Yeah.
Okay. Her life is like half over. She's on the back nine. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And I go, well, if it makes you feel any better, it's not what I see. This is what I see. You can take it or leave it.
Yeah.
But you really need to work on that, because it'd be pretty sad to get to your deathbed and look back and say, I wish I wasn't so fucking hard on myself.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, you need to make sure, like, but my mom was so hard on me and my dad was so hard on me. And I go, and that's not your fault.
Yeah.
What is your fault is that you have not taken responsibility, accepted what it is, and found the help to fix it. Yeah. You can't be a victim. You cannot blame your shitty parents the rest of your life. Yeah. You can't. This is your life.
Yeah, I remember my dad. I remember my dad again to quote back, but he should also write a self-help book.
He should. It sounds like he's a genius.
But he said, because I don't speak to my mother, but and this was a few years ago, but he was like, you can't carry her on your shoulder. Like, he said he did like a manager training at work, and they were saying like, you can't carry your problems on your shoulder. And they equated it to having like a little monkey there. Mm-hmm. And so he said when you go in, you need to like lose the monkey because it's going to affect all your decisions. And it was so right because I was carrying this like unresolved issues with her, I was bringing it into relationships, I was like dating men like her, I was like recreating it constantly. Yeah. Until I again did the work and learned to like just talk about it, get over it, because until you go to therapy and you talk about your issues, you're not ever going to get over it, I think, whatever your issues are. Because even the insecurity stuff, what's so great about that for her, she's saying it to you. But if she went into a therapist and said it properly, like where it comes from out loud, because A, you're paying the person, so you feel okay doing it. You know, like I remember my
friend. Yeah, and you know it's kind of a safe space.
Exactly. You can say anything. You can say, and I actually think these terrible things, and this person isn't here to judge you. So it's like you get the freedom of it's so, it's the best. So yeah, I hope she does. And back to what you said about
adorable. That's why I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it's so sad. It's so sad. It is. And then it's like, what's like in the end, you just have to live with you. It's like as well when it comes down to looks. Like I've had a person recently like keep telling me about her looks and like getting all this plastic surgery done. Look, whatever you want to do, good for you. But was like really like comparing yourself to younger women and feeling very hurt about it. And it's kind of like, there's always going to be younger women, do you know? It's like,
oh, always.
And it's like
aging is hard. It is hard for women. I've had my own struggles with that, but I like doing like lasers and skincare stuff to like naturally
and even if you want to get,
but sometimes you look in, you're like, fuck, dude.
Yeah,
oh, these lines. But then, you know, that's the nice thing about getting older too, is you're like, I'm supposed to have this now. I remember when the first fine lines and wrinkles showed up under your eyes, they show up in your early 20s, right? And you're like, fuck.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, I can't look like this. And so you've been fighting them all these years. Thank God, because now they look fine. And now I'm like, no. Like, I look good for my age. I'm allowed to have this.
Yeah,
like,
people don't really notice the fine. Like,
people don't give a shit. I'm not trying to be a model.
Yeah, and the stuff that this girl was getting done, I was like, I don't really tell. I see the difference, but whatever.
What was she doing?
Like things in her cheeks and stuff.
Oh, like fillers?
I didn't even understand.
All the kids are doing that these days too. Nobody is far behind.
Yeah. But it was more just the way she was talking about herself and comparing herself that I was like, oh, that's like, you don't want to.
It's exhausting.
It's sad. But I love what you said back about how.
I love how I'm like just totally.
Yes. Calm.
Look at
spread
this.
Out.
What's up?
But I love what you said before about how not to like. Because I do think with TikTok now, I see all these TikTok videos where they're like, he didn't text me back in 24 hours, blah, blah, blah. And and it's like, oh my God, you need to chill. Like, no one needs to text you back in 24 hours. And then secondly, this whole like, let's jump on the bandwagon and get mad. I think you are right to, you don't need to be like, fuck you, you fucking asshole. Uh-uh. Because again, you're in the heat of the moment, you're angry, and it's better just to look like the bigger person and walk away. And again, just say it to your friends, because like I've had plenty of guys treat me like shit, but I've just been kind of like, it's also not my job to teach them how to be as well, you know?
Well, yeah, and it's like you always get over it.
Yeah.
So like this guy that disappeared, like if I was like, you're such a piece of shit, like blah, 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 whatever. Now I'm totally, 2 weeks later, I'm like,
yeah,
I even like that guy. Like I'm over it. And I'm like, I'm really glad I never said anything bad, because now when I run into him, I can run into him with my head held like, what's up, dude? What's going on?
You also are giving them an excuse to feel justified with what they did, because then all of a sudden they're like, they start calling us crazy, which we're obviously not, and if you get mad, like you're entitled to get mad, but then you're just giving them an excuse to be like, oh well, I knew this wouldn't work out. So I've had guys who, once they sleep with you again, I had a guy who, and again, sex is great, I wish I could have just been like a casual person, but I had very specifically said I was on Hinge for a relationship.
Yeah, okay.
We had tons of voice message and phone calls before we met up, and I very specifically said I was looking for a relationship. We hang out a few times, we have sex, and then he just isn't making an effort to see me the next week. And he was like, maybe I'll see you in like 2 weeks.
It's a worse feeling, isn't it?
Yeah. And I'm like, wait, I don't want, I want to be able to see the person at least once a week. And he was like, what are you looking for? As if, and it was so gaslighting because it's like, what? We had this conversation. And I was like, yeah, I'm like looking to develop a relationship. And he was like, oh, I'm not looking for that at all. Like, I had no idea. But it's like, they were already in the voice messages. But I just was like, yeah, okay, cool. I don't think this is, you know, we're obviously not looking for the same thing. And he's like, yeah, let's not. Like, I don't want to waste your time. And I'm like, yeah, no bother. And I just like left it off as nice because when our first date, he was like, because he's from England, and he was like, oh, American ladies are so crazy. And he's like talking about how these girls like flipped out on him, like a couple of dates he'd gone on. Like, and so when that happened, I was like, I'm not going to give him the satisfaction.
Yeah. Good
but also
call.
Like fair play to those girls. Like he's now twisting it and saying they're crazy. But I'm like, I'm sure they just went through exactly what I did. And they were like, did. Fuck you. You can't do this. But then he's already like changing the narrative that he's a good guy. And they just flipped out for no reason. And I'm like, no, pal, you had sex. Yeah. You had, like, you can't. If you're
you
going to have sex
fuck
with
a girl
someone,
and expect her not to want a relationship.
Yeah, or you
dudes, can. Dudes, pay attention.
Yeah, or you can fuck girls who are okay. Like, if you say, like, these guys is what's so annoying is, like, just say that you just want to fuck because there are, yeah, we are not okay with it. And that's why they don't do it because they know that we wouldn't.
Yeah.
And it's so annoying because there are women that are okay with that. I know a couple of girls that are just like, I don't like relationships. I just want to get mine and see you later. And it's like, wait, just be patient and
trust
match
me,
with those girls.
I have to go on a date later today with this guy and it's great. It's like our fourth date. But I already told him like, we're not having sex for like another like 6 to 7 weeks. Like I'm not doing it. And he's like, yep, all good. All good. But trust me, there's every ounce of me that's just like, just do it. And I'm like, nope. Don't, because you're going to regret it.
No, I think it is wise to definitely, if you're looking for a relationship, wait for as long as you can, for sure.
Well, and the reason I wanted to wait, too, it's like, okay, so he's going away for a week, and then he comes back, and then I'll see him a couple days, and then I leave in December for the holidays, and I don't know when exactly I'm coming back, but I'll see him, like, New Year's in Florida. So I'm like, if we can get to that point, like, and not see each other for 3 weeks, but talk... Like, at that point, we'll be like, okay, this is what we want.
Yeah.
Or this is what we don't want. But at least, like, we don't have that, like, he doesn't have that hook in me, literally.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Plus, it also builds tension, which is exciting. You have something to look forward to.
True.
And you already build intimacy. You build comfortability. Like, it's always mad to me how, like, people will have sex with each other, but then be nervous about calling the next day. And I'm like...
I know.
You have to... If you were looking for a relationship, you have to build up that you're already okay calling. You're already... Because people, like... Sex is really intimate for certain people. Some other people treat it like the gym and that's grand, whatever you want to do. But you know what I mean? Like, I can't.
That's how I treat my vibrator. I had to get rid of a vibrator, by the way. I bought this vibrator. Holy shit. I literally was like, this is the best thing ever. I feel bad for all men now.
Oh,
I threw it away.
Oh,
I
was
fucking
too good.
threw it away.
Someone was like, get the
womanizer. I got never leaving. I'm never leaving my house.
Yeah.
Down the train, down the trash.
Someone was like, get the womanizer. And I was like, no, I want to still, I don't want to get, I mean, look, for everybody uses it great, but that like, I want to still have sex with my boyfriend.
Well, yeah.
And we use toys, but I don't want to go too far. I don't want to get myself used to
it. Right, because then you're like, there's nothing you can do. Get off me. Let me just do this.
Yeah, this thing.
This one was like this weird, like, rose thing. It was like this suction cup, and then it was like this. And I'm like,
That's the one. I think. It's like a suction thing for your clit, right?
Oh, my God. Well, but then it was like a tongue vibrating thing with like nine motions. And I'm like... Nobody's ever going to satisfy me. This is horrific. I don't want to leave my house ever. I'm like, this is ridiculous. I'm like, shh. So I literally got rid of it. And then I had another vibrator and I was like, you know what? This isn't healthy. Like I need to build a relationship and have that limited so that person can do something with you. So I had to throw them out.
Yeah. And once the person is like okay with toys as well, but I do find when I was using my vibrator too much, it did definitely desensitize me a little bit. So I never use it now, ever since I've been in my relationship, and will like bring it into the bedroom sometimes. But he bought a new one that's like way lighter. My one before, it was, I'm going to shout out to Sex Shuppa because she's American who sells sex stores in or sex toys in Ireland.
Oh, that's great. I love it.
And Sex Shuppa. Shuppa is Irish for shop. But she gave it to me and it's like the best thing in the whole world. So I haven't actually used it since I've been in the relationship with Leland. So not in like two, nearly like, you know, pushing 2 years because...
Oh, that's good. Because you're just like, yeah, he's not going to... It's just not going to feel as...
Yeah.
I know.
And I want to keep saying...
I feel sorry for these fucking men.
Yeah.
Because they're not buying as many toys.
Yeah. And like, I mean, I guess their kryptonite is porn. And if they want... Like, I know when me and Leland started dating, he stopped watching as much porn because porn for them, they watch it so much that they become desensitized to real sex. So like, it's like, yeah, you know, and we both made that effort to kind of put, like, we'll watch porn together sometimes and it's really helpful.
Yeah.
But he won't watch it, or he won't masturbate too much either. So now we're not having sex fucking crazy either. Like once a week is like, we're pretty happy. It's so funny because I was so horny before him, like with partners, and
I hear that a lot. It's hilarious.
But also, it's I think for me what it is, because all the men I was like so attracted to, they were really toxic and it was passionate and dangerous.
Yeah.
And so like, I actually just liked them for the sex, but I was with them in these violent, like crazy argumentative relationships. But with Leland, everything's just calm and chill, that I actually don't need the sex as much. Like we have great sex and we enjoy it, but I'm also like happy to just hang out with him and like spend time. Great. Yeah. So
yeah, it's like what? Yeah, it's healthy. But yeah, I've been seeing you know, a lot of these, you know, don't watch porn and porn is bad. And you know, I'm a Christian. And I'm like, yeah, it's probably not a good thing to watch.
Yeah,
that.
At least limit it. Everything.
I'm trying to like, okay, if I can like somehow start associating sex with like how God would want it. Like I try to like like go through my life like, okay, like having God live through me, you know, how would God react, like, you know, helping people and smiling at people and trying to make people's days better where I can, trying to make an impact every day, to where I'm kind of like, okay, like God probably wouldn't want you to have like 17 vibrators in your drawer from China or to watch porn where people are just like banging out of like out of marriage. So I'm like, you know what, I need to be more like, fall in love, do it the right way, and then maybe. But I always thought too, when I would have sex with these guys, like outside of a serious relationship maybe, or like I thought it was going to be a serious relationship, I would always get hurt. And I remember the last time it happened, well, in October, I said, you know what, the universe and God are going to give you exactly what you don't want to teach you something until you change your behavior.
Yeah.
So we're going to hurt you every time you do this because we're trying to get you off that path.
Yeah.
Like we're trying to push you in a different direction, a healthier direction.
Yeah.
So when you do this, you're just going to get hurt because we're trying to push. And I'm like, you know what? Message received.
It's like you're not learning from your mistakes. And who is the person who said the... doing the same thing and expecting the different results is the definition of insanity. Yeah, I can't remember who that famous guy, but it is true because I would date the same arsehole, think I could fix them, wouldn't work out. And then I would just date the exact same arsehole just from a different county, country, or you know what I mean? Yeah. Or like ethnicity, let's say, like this, but the same personality, maybe just like with a different job, or you know what I mean? It was just the same guy on repeat. And then when I switched up and tried to date nice guys, and that was the thing that changed, because with Leland we knew each other for 4 years before we actually dated.
Oh, so you had like a real friendship there?
Kind of a little bit. He had unfollowed me on Instagram.
He unfollowed you on Instagram? What'd you do? He liked you and you didn't like him back. That's why they did.
Or it could be anything. It could have been because it was when he was like, he still hasn't told me the reason, but he said it could have been as well when I had started posting a lot. And a few comics did do that because I started to grow my Instagram, and it was just more, it's not a dig at me, it's a more, I'm not doing this, this is freaking me out, or either I'm just seeing this too much, which was always fine because I was doing it to build a fan base. So it could have been any of that. He also tried to get booked on my show, and I had not replied just because I was so busy. So it was like a kind of like...
Wait, is he a comic too?
He's a comedian too.
Oh, gotcha.
So over the years, we were friendly. He had booked me a few times. He was much younger when I first met him. And he said he had a crush on me when he first met. Yeah, so he did say he had a big crush on me when we first met. But he said that I was out of his league. So he never even considered asking me out. So it could have been like that too. He had sent me like some weird message one time about getting booked, and I just hadn't responded because I forgot.
Yeah.
So that probably did look a bit bitchy, but it was more just I just forgot.
Yeah.
And so and he also hung around with a girl at the time that a lot of people thought was like a mean girl. He said to me he was like intimidated by us, even though anybody would say my reputation is very nice, but this other girl is a little scary and intimidating, but she's also just like gorgeous.
Okay, you have to tell me her name after the podcast shuts off.
Oh, I will. Yeah. she's like a badass, you know, she's just this cool, but like I knew a lot of guys were like really intimidated by her.
Like her, yeah, exactly.
But so then fast forward years later, he's on a show saying like, I hate hooking up and I don't like having casual sex and I just want a girlfriend. And he had a whole bit about it. And I was like, and he'd like grown up, you know, because he's 5 years younger than me, but he looked taller for whatever reason and he lost a good bit of weight. Not that that's like, you know, he's put it on and off since we've been dating, but he was just like in a different, like he didn't look like a kid anymore. And he's also just talking about wanting a girlfriend. So I was like, I'm just going to slip into this guy's DMs.
Aww.
And so I did being like joking about how he had unfollowed me or whatever, because I noticed then he wasn't following me. That's and he hilarious. Was like, oh my God. And then we just like started chatting from there. But yeah, that was it. And it was, he treats me like gold, you know, he like makes me tea every morning.
Such a nice guy. He's he was so nice when I came in to the Leyland place. I mean, this place is great. I like the living room is very cozy.
Yeah.
It has a cozy, nice feel. Like, it'd be nice. I'd be like, yeah, I'm going to hit you. I'd be like, Katie, I need to come watch a Christmas movie. I'm coming over.
Yeah, of course. Anytime.
I'm going to be right here. It's going to be great.
I shouldn't take much more of your time, but what's your best self? Okay, look, it's time for you to stop chasing money, create financial freedom, conquer fear. What's your best self-help advice that you could give quickly to the listeners? Other than
get
your book.
So there's so much in there, but the one thing I do want to say is we all know about like the secret and the law of attraction and visualizing what you want and right, the mind can't conceive what is real and what isn't. So, but it's very difficult for people. Obviously, the law of attraction was genuinely easy to do, we'd all be rolling around in Ferraris with houses on the water, right? So, and it's because it's very difficult to stay in that energy of like receiving when you're sitting there going, okay, but my bank balance is this and I'm sitting here wanting this dream house that's, you know, 100 times more than I even have right now. It's hard to stay in that receiving, like, oh, that's a reality. I believe it. I know it's coming. So, and that was a struggle for me. What changed was the power of prayer. So when I started praying, and for those of you who aren't religious, this is not me trying to preach God on you by any means. You do you, but don't judge others, right? Like for me, the law of attraction never worked for me. Mm-hmm. I couldn't stay in that positivity. I'm like, well, it's not reality. So I'd fall down. And then I started praying and everything started popping in. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, people are like, how'd you do your book? I'm like, I have no freaking clue. I prayed. I ended up in Mexico. I met a publisher. I came back, got a book deal. And 5 months later, I have a book.
Yeah.
Like it's bananas, right? So the power of prayer worked for me. The power of prayer and law of attraction are the same thing.
Yeah.
Okay. It's believing in something you can't see and having the faith that it's going to happen.
Yeah.
So for me, that was God. I'm like, he's going to bring it to me if it's in my best interest. I know that. But because of my relationship with God, I can stay in that positivity receiving mode versus some people might have the universe and they can do it that way. So that would be my biggest thing. If the law of attraction is not working for you, try prayer.
Yeah, and
you don't have to be like totally religious or going to church or anything like that. If you want to, you should. You know, God is an amazing creature. We live in a society where people are trying to remove him and we need to stop. But there's a reason why the most successful people in the world will thank God first in anything they do because he is our creator. So I'm not saying that to convert anyone, but if it's not working for you and you're stuck in your shitty life and you can't get out of your own shitty way, start praying. Maybe it'll work.
And I would say, because, you know, for people who aren't religious, I think the similar thing is just, because I think with prayer, what people who aren't religious do is they meditate. And what you're doing is, so my other friend is Muslim, so she prays 5 times a day, but she's just meditating 5 times a day.
Exactly.
So it's like just giving yourself a second to like, take yourself out of your body, voice what you want. And so like for me, I'm at Leland, I'm convinced I created him because I wrote down what I wanted. and I put that out there. So I kept writing down every time I met
a
guy.
I've heard that so many times.
I'd write what I liked and what I didn't want, and it kept bringing me closer to him. So it is the same as praying. I was, Yeah, just taking a moment out of your day to again, if you don't want to pray, just to write goal lists, even just what you want and
what you want.
Yeah, or just being grateful. I think prayer must be amazing. I'm not religious now at all. I believe that there's multiple dimensions. So for anybody who's out there, I think that
I believe that too.
Yeah, I'd say it's all real. I'd say, you know, I do think
just believing in something that's bigger than yourself.
Yeah,
I'm sitting here petting Katie's pussy.
It's a cat, it's so cute.
I'm allergic to cats, so I have to wash my hands after, but God, she's the softest thing ever. This is the softest pussy ever.
Yeah,
I like so your pussy cute.
he's very nope. friendly, but I think you're right. So if you're
something
agnostic,
bigger than yourself,
meditate, do yoga, do something, take yourself, go for walks every day, and it is something
And the other thing I'll say too about it is it's important to be passionate about what you do, because if you don't love what you do, you're not going to be able to withstand the difficult times. Yeah. So it is important, whether you're wanting to be rich or whatnot, but you're not going to make the money if you're not passionate about it. But be realistic about your passions.
Yeah.
Because not all passions make you rich. Sometimes they're meant to just be hobbies.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's true, because I love stand-up comedy. It's the love of my life. But, I have had to give up. I've had to be here or give up having a proper friend group. I have a lot of friends, but I can't commit to a friend group where you go away to the ski on a weekend. And it's because I'm gigging on weekends. So it's everything is sacrifice.
It is. But that's why you have to love it, because that's what makes it worth it at the end. You know?
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. Where can people buy your book?
So you can... Ow, don't bite. You can go to... You can go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble. And just timetolightenthefuckup.com. You can follow me on Instagram at realmadisonmalloy, madisonmalloy.com. I'm easy to stalk. Definitely check out the book. It's a great gift for people too. It's funny. I had my friend's 76-year-old mother that read it, not because she needs to change her life. She just wanted to support me. She goes, I can't get past the second dick joke. I said, you mean the second page?
Yeah.
Keep going.
Amazing.
Yeah, it was really funny. Thanks for having me. I'm so grateful. Yeah.
No, and it is
here's the book. Time to lighten the fuck up.
It is fun to have someone who is also I am religious, but I'm also have a book called Lighten the Fuck Up, because I think a lot of time people put people in boxes. You know, if you were to say you're religious, no one would think that you wrote a book that has fuck on the cover.
And 24 F words in it. So here's the thing. There's a chapter about faith, right? Mm-hmm. And it talks about the prayer and the law of attraction thing. But here's the thing. This is why people get turned off from religion, right? Is because somehow we've made God this judgmental, don't do this, don't do that type character. And I don't know how much God had to do with that. I think God loves us in all our humor and all our differences and all our kind of decisions, and he's forgiving. It's us that made them judgmental.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not God. If you're like, oh, well, I don't want to go to this church because these people are a-holes. Yeah, they're probably a-holes, but that's not God.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the a-holes at the church. Go find a new freaking church.
I mean, you see it right now with what's going on in Iran, and it's like, no, it's people,
so
because
sad.
It's a beautiful religion. And my friends, a lot of my friends are Muslim, and I've gotten to celebrate with them. And I'm like, this is so many amazing, but it's the same with Catholicism. You know, a lot of priests made it bad, you know, so it's
exactly.
It's like man ruins what?
I mean, it's every, the man, there's bad apples, you know, in the police force and the priesthood and whatever, but you can't judge a whole group based on that. But I'm not telling anyone to convert or go to church.
But definitely take
that
a
is not my job.
Day. Take but a moment out of your day.
Just find what works for you to get to a higher place, to get you what you want, because everybody on this earth deserves to have the best life ever. And the other thing I will say before I just keep coming up with stuff, I promise it's the last thing I'll say. So the biggest thing too, to really reach success in your life is to, I have allergies, so I keep sneezing, and I have a cat sitting next to me that I'm allergic to. No, she's adorable.
Hold up. What was that?
Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Lover. So the other thing too is you know, you need to be confident to be able to reach your dreams and your goal and be successful. You're not going to find a super successful person that isn't super confident, right? Yeah. So working on things to build your confidence. And people will say like, oh, affirmations, you know, do a little Botox, little tweak work if that helps you. Buy better clothes, get your hair done, get your makeup done, get your nails done, whatever, all the aesthetic stuff, right? That's fine. That's all temporary, though. Your nails grow out, your hair grows out. It's all crazy. The thing that also, for me, that I've discovered and a unique tip that I have to build your confidence is when you realize how much each of us has an impact and an influence in this world, okay? It's not your social media following or anything like that. So I encourage everybody, every day, when you go outside, aim to impact 3 people positively that day. And it's as simple as smiling at a stranger on the street, buying a cup of coffee for somebody if you feel like it, complimenting somebody on something they're wearing or something they did. You realize how powerful you are, and you don't know that smile or that compliment could have changed the whole trajectory of their day or their life.
Yeah.
And that's when you realize, wow, I'm making a difference in this world and I actually have an impact, is going to in return build your confidence in a truly inner healthy way.
Yeah.
Because we are all powerful. It's just up to us to tap into it.
You what?
We're all powerful. We just have to tap into it. So buy my book, Time to Light the Fuck Up. I'm Madison Malloy.
Dude, this can be your Christmas present to people as well.
Yeah, totally.
And thank you guys all so much. And I'm so sorry. I didn't realize you had allergies.
Oh, no, I'm good. I'm going to wash my hands. Okay. As she clawed me. I'm like, hi.
Okay. Love you all. Bye.
Bye.